immaculate.
Father God, we thank you for Julie. We thank you for her heart for you. We thank you that she hears your voice. And we just ask that you speak through her today, that you give her a clear voice and a calm spirit, and that her words will speak to our hearts, Father God, that you will bring your message to our hearts. Give us receptive hearts and let us hear your voice today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bron. That was amazing. Actually, I need your notes. Thank you. So for those of you who don't know, I'm Julie. I'm a pastor here at the church. How you doing? So the reason I need her notes is that Baptist Care have asked me, and the work that we're doing in DV, family and domestic violence and abuse prevention, the work we're doing here in this space, if we would write a manual so that other churches could do it. And I've been spending the last 2 weeks trying to write on forgiveness and doing a really, I then went back to reading all the books and I still couldn't get it all together. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Go Bron Jacobs. Okay, so there you go. Apparently, I haven't got a message. That should scare you guys, because I'm sorry, guys, it closed down. Because if I preach off my notes, I preach too long, don't I? Oh, come on, I know I do. That's why I'm so careful to like follow my. What is with you lot? Hello. It's going to be a really long message because, you know, if you don't answer me, I think you're not there or that you need some help and I need to re-explain it. So I'm speaking on courage. So here's what I would like to know. When I say the word courage, what biblical characters come to your mind? Who do you think in the Bible shows courage? Daniel in the lion's den? Yes, actually, Daniel in any of the things he went through. Hey? Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yep. David. Joshua. Noah. Yeah, nice one. People who stood with Jesus at the cross. Someone give that woman a degree. Pardon? Yeah, Mary, Jesus' mother. Gosh, what that woman went through. Deborah. I like Deborah. Quite like Jabez as well, but anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Nehemiah.
There's some really good characters, aren't there? Do you know the person I chose was Elijah? And at the same time as I was reading about Elijah's story, I was also reading this psalm, which is Psalm 27. Okay, so what you're going to find from this message today is I'll tell you a bit about Elijah's life and then tell you a little bit from the psalm and a little bit. So do you think you can cope with two thoughts at the same time? If you've got ADD, what we're doing, oh, I can see you shaking your head. If you've got ADD, you're going to love this, okay? So, but let me just tell you who Elijah is for those of you who just don't know or unaware. So Elijah is a prophet in Israel. He finds himself in a showdown on Mount Carmel. Okay. Israel, the people of God, they faced a choice. Would they follow the God of their ancestors, or would they follow Baal, the God worshipped by King Ahab and his wife Jezebel? Now, Elijah wasn't just confronting like false worship, saying, you're the people of God. You're supposed to be worshiping the God of your ancestors. He's not just doing that. He's putting himself in direct conflict with the most powerful people in the land. Just think about that, okay? Think in terms of like war times when you're working as double agent or as an agent in a... I think you're putting yourself in a place that's actually very dangerous, takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? And so, but it wasn't just that Elijah had courage to face the people of the land. For me, even more is the fact that Elijah had courage to take God at his word. Because think about the big story that most of us know, which is Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. and there's this big showdown. Which God is going to send fire from heaven and accept the sacrifice, they pray. And so Elijah, when it was his, so the prophets of Baal had their go, nothing happens. Elijah prepares the altar for God. He places the sacrifice of the bulls at the top, and then he does the unthinkable. He drenches it with water until it overflows in the trench that is around this altar. There is no chance of him lighting this fire by himself, you know. Not that they had sneaky little light, and they had lighters in those days, but there was no like sneaky little lighter like that. It was impossible for the thing to light by itself. And everyone is watching. And Elijah stood there boldly. Boldly going nowhere, where no one had gone before. Oh no, that's not the Bible, is it? Should be. God, your hard work this morning. Look, if you don't laugh at that, that's all I've got. Elijah is standing there boldly, trusting God to act. And God came through. Fire comes down from heaven, burns up the sacrifice. Yay, 1-0. On Mount Carmel, Elijah is living Psalm 27. Halfway down, the psalmist says, my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At God's sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. The Bible doesn't say that Elijah did a victory dance, but I'm blooming sure he did. Yeah? Like, shout, yes, God. Praise the name of a God of heaven. Yeah? At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Have you ever had an experience like Elijah's fire from heaven? Now, I'm not expecting that's been your life to have like fire coming down, because I'm pretty sure we would have all heard about it. But these really pumped up experiences of the Lord where he comes through for you. Do you know this thing? Yeah? You've had these like spiritual highs? Sometimes we call them those, yeah? What did that do for your faith? When God came through, like, what did you have? It's a boost, isn't it? Don't you feel like, I am never going to doubt again? I got faith, boldness, courage. Yeah, bring it on, mate. I'm ready for you. Are we not in that space? Yeah? That was not Elijah's experience. Jezebel put a price on his head, and 1 Kings 19 verse 3 says, frightened, Elijah fled to save his life. Elijah's courage deserted him. He had the courage in front of that. He had a gift of faith, I believe, in front of all of the Israel to stand there and see God come through, and then his courage failed him. You probably have experienced this before, actually. But after that massive adrenaline surge, you know, our natural fight, flight or freeze response, after that comes a crash. And Elijah's body must have been flooded with adrenaline when he faced the false prophets and the ruling authorities and the watching nations. Don't you think? Yeah. He'd been like pumped and like, fight, flight, or freeze running through him. And when the surge was over, he slumped, exhausted, overwhelmed, and courage gone. Elijah's humanity is showing. Courage doesn't mean that you never feel fear again, okay? Just because you've been courageous once doesn't mean that you won't face fear again some other time. It doesn't mean you will never collapse. So what does the Bible mean about courage? Sometimes, have you heard it translated as good cheer? It sounds so English. Oh, come on, be of good cheer, chaps. Keep calm and carry on. The biblical courage is far deeper than this stiff upper lip. Courage in scripture is the opposite of fear. Not because we're strong, not because we are strong, but because we lift our eyes to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and remember who he is. We lift our eyes in a place of fear and we see his nature. I remember what you're like, Lord. His character. You are love and goodness and faithfulness. You are justice and mercy and grace. That's what I see. And what we find is when we lift our eyes and we see Jesus in our place of fears, that his love casts out our fear. Listen again to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. This is the heartbeat of courage. Fear may still be in my peripheral vision. Do you hear him say, the army is coming against me? I'm quite aware of that. It's not that I'm denying the things that I'm afraid of, but they're here. They're in my peripheral vision. My focus is on Jesus. His light, his salvation takes center stage. And the fear, I'm not focusing on you. And what I find is when I lift up my eyes and go, God is, that fear loses its grip and power over me. I sometimes imagine the day when Jesus gathers, you know, and Jesus comes back and he gathers all his people together, people all across the ages, and he finds them all together. I really want to see that day, because then I can ask people the questions the Bible doesn't answer, right? And I'd love to ask Elijah, how was your daily, ordinary relationship with Jesus in the place of your fears and your daily fears and that, how was this relationship going, outside the big events of fire from heaven, showdown with kings, but outside of that, what I see is a man who struggled with courage in his everyday walk with God. I'd ask him, Elijah, when fear showed up in the small and ordinary places of life, did you practice looking at God then? Because fear isn't only found in the dramatic moments of our life. We all face fears, right? Daily. Sometimes the adrenaline surge is there and it's like, oh my God. And sometimes that fear is that quiet thought that whispers, I can't do this, I'm out of here. And those feelings, they ebb and flow throughout our life. The truth is, courage doesn't just appear in the big battles. Our courage is built in the ordinary daily practice of Psalm 27, where it says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and he will set me upon a rock. Look at those words. Asking, that's prayer. Seeking, that's active pursuit. Putting effort into what you do not hold. Yeah? Seeking is going after something you haven't got, right? So it's an active word. Dwelling. Choosing to live in God's presence, not just visiting. Dwelling can mean, in the Bible, it can mean refuge when you're in danger. So it's this sense of, I'm in danger, God is my refuge and God has got me. But it's also about permanency and belonging. Like Moses stepping into the presence of God. If you don't know that story, is that Moses towards, like, once he got over himself, I mean, he took a time to get over himself, but once he got it, once he understood God, he was into the presence of God and dwelling there, yeah, and spending his time with the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. And he would step into that place and they'd go back and have to do some jobs because people were doing what they were doing. And then he'd go back into the presence, stepping in and out. We too can walk into God's presence and stay. I think that's our problem. I think staying, dwelling, I don't think that's part. And if you have had ears to hear what the Spirit's been saying to us, I will at the end, if you haven't, I'll tell you what I think God is asking of us in this season. But one thing I will say is that he has been, came through a word, and it's also come through the messages that we've been preaching over Stephen, Daniel and myself over the last little while, plus it's been coming up in our prayers, is the fact that there is an ache in our heart. But we keep trying to fill it with podcasts, fill it with doing something, fill it with chocolate, fill it with anything other. Yeah. So even the stuff we are putting in, it's not. Brom said she was listening to podcasts. I'm all for us listening to podcasts, right? And getting more teaching, listening to sermons online, filling up on and spending time listening to new worship songs. I'm all for it. What I'm talking about is that different thing when there is an ache in your heart and you're just trying to fill it with something that you can do to silence that ache. And what the Lord God, when the Spirit came and is bringing his revelation to his people, what the Spirit is saying to us is, I want you to come into my presence. I want you to sit here and I want you to dwell. Don't want you to be doing stuff. What I do want you to be doing is to start to lift up your eyes. And we've been giving you over the weeks what we're supposed to be focusing on. Awe. If you have not got new language and prayer over awe, this is what you're supposed to be working out. Lord, how do I come and dwell before an awesome God? What words would I use? What scriptures? What other prayers have people written? Lord, how do I see you in awe? In contentment. Lord, in this space where I am not, or I feel like it's not, or I blah, 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 blah. Lord, in that space, Lord, I want to lift up my eyes and I want to dwell in a place where I am content because I see you, Jesus. Or contentment, thanksgiving, praise, courage. These are the things that the Lord is asking us to dwell and fill our lives with. So that's what I said I was going to do at the end. I didn't. I did it then. What are you going to do? It's by asking, seeking and dwelling that is where your courage is built. Not in the fire from heaven moments, but in the quiet rhythm of prayer, seeking and dwelling with God. Psalm 27 says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Yeah? In his dwelling. Why are you safe? Because of the place you put yourself in, because of the place you're living in, because of the position that you take, you are dwelling. Dwelling, dwelling, dwelling. I can agree quite confidently, actually, with the psalmist. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. And I can say that's true because I practice it. In the ordinary unremarkable moments of life, the ones that none of you lot witness or write stories about at those times when I am afraid. Fear has been a real problem in my life and is a problem. No, that's not true. It isn't actually, but it has been. And in those moments when I am afraid or I am tempted to fear again, I have made a habit, as Psalm 27 says, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. I think the word temple is actually important, because one of the things I want to say, I do not do that alone. I ask others to pray and seek God with me. And that's why later in Elijah's story, God gives Elijah Elisha. Why couldn't he have given him like a John or a Zebedee? Why do they have to have such similar names? Anyone else? This is the other question I would ask. Maybe it's just me. But Elijah goes before the Lord in his place, lifelike courage. And what does God do? He gives him another person to walk with him. Yeah. We don't get courage alone. We've got to have other people with us who are praying for us and praying with us. Can you pray for me? Can you help me to understand in this space where I'd rather have fear? Can you help me? We find more courage together than alone. Now, you could be sitting there and thinking, I'm being pretty hard on Elijah. You know, go up to him and say, "Hi, mate. How was your daily life?" That's a bit judgmental, don't you think? Well, I did. I thought I might be thinking I'm being a bit hard on him. You might think I'm being hard because he definitely loved the Lord. And I'm not saying that he didn't practice looking for courage in his normal life. I just want to ask him. That's all. I just want to ask him. And to give Elijah his due, after his clash with the prophets of Baal, when he fell into that deep slump, he still then walked for 40 days to get to the mountain of the Lord, to get to the place where he knew God dwell. Yeah? That takes a lot of courage when you're burnt out, to get yourself up and walk to the place where you know you can find God. And 40 days is a long time to be without, but just one step in front of the other. Don't you think that's real courage? In that, persistence, like dogged determination, that thing of I will find the Lord, he showed the heart of Psalm 27. One thing I seek is the Lord. But when Elijah reached God's dwelling place, you should listen to his prayers. Oh my gosh, poor guy, they're recorded for all eternity. Because his prayers are on this like negative repeat prayer. It is the same negative prayer he keeps repeating in that place where God dwells. The Lord asks, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he replies, the Lord God of armies, I've come before you because I have eagerly served you. The Israelites have abandoned your promises. They've torn down your altars. They've executed your prophets. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to take my life. That's a bit unfair because it's all of that was true. He was not being dramatic. But he was completely overwhelmed. But it's pretty negative, isn't it? Do you know that experience? A negative loop is playing on repeat in your brain. And it may even be at times that you think you've beaten it, but under pressure, it returns. And it's worse because you thought you were past this negative prayer. That's on repeat. God, if only. God. Sometimes I think, God, if you just showed up, well, this thing is going in my brain. If you showed up, audible voice, actually, Lord, I'll even take an angel. If you come and talk to me, then I know, Lord, I could get over this. But here's the thing. Elijah did see God's glory pass by. He did hear God's voice in that place where he is doing those negative prayers on repeat before the Lord. The Lord passes by and he sees his glory. And the Lord speaks to him and he hears his voice. Yet when the Lord asks Elijah again, "What are you doing here?" Elijah answers with the exact same prayer, the exact same negative prayer, word for word. Are we allowed to pray negatively? The answer is yes. Okay, the answer is yes. The Psalms are full of raw, unfiltered prayers. And Psalm 88 is the one psalm in the Bible that doesn't end with resolution or praise at all. It is only a negative prayer. All the others have got, "But God, this I'll believe, I will, there's something in there." Psalm 88, nah. Just pure, pure negativity. So don't avoid negative prayers, be honest. But here's the balance. There are 149 other psalms filled with praise or thanksgiving and contentment. And that's why we've been encouraging you to focus on these places and include them in your prayers with Jesus. For every negative prayer playing on repeat, at some point, courage has to be your choice. Because courage means choosing to focus on not this, but on awe and contentment in Christ and thanksgiving and praise. That's why Psalm 27 teaches us, "The Lord is my light and salvation. The Lord is my stronghold for my life." Now, you may describe different words to describe "the Lord is my redeemer, my shepherd, my friend," different words, but the psalm emphasizes this truth. God is. Poor Elijah. There's no record of him adding "but God" to his negative prayer. Even when God said to him, "Elijah, you're not alone. I've actually got 7,000 other prophets in Israel." And still there's no response from Elijah. When the Lord answered Elijah's negative prayer, the Lord gave Elijah a task. He said, "Go anoint Elisha as a prophet in your place. Anoint Hazael as king of Aram and Jehu as king of Israel." Did anyone notice that Jehu is a different name from the Ahab who is actually king of Israel? And so he stands in a place with no courage and the Lord says to him, "Go and anoint Jehu as king." So Elijah leaves the place, the dwelling with God, and he goes and he anoints Elisha, but he does not anoint the kings, not directly. Other people do, but he doesn't. And I can't really judge him for that. Think about it. He's already running from King Ahab. To anoint Jehu would have been stepping right back into the conflict with Ahab and anointing new kings, one in Aram. I mean, I'm sure the king of Aram would have been really happy about that. But to anoint king in Aram and new king over here in Israel would just bring bloodshed and conflict to Israel. So he knew what would happen once those two guys became kings. So I can't judge him for not doing it. But here's the thing. This is the challenge of courage. That when we find ourselves in that space of dwelling with the Lord and we hear the Lord, what we suddenly realize is that we still have to step back in to our daily battles and our daily challenges. And we've still got to keep fighting. Having courage doesn't mean you get out of the fight. Having the Lord speak to you does not mean you get out of the fight. All it means is that you have the strength and the God who says, I'm going with you. I'm asking you to do this, to come back and step back into these daily fights. We still face those fears when we, you know, Lord comes to us, and we still have to face those fears that fuel those negative loops. And just the thought, I think this is Elijah's problem, just even the thought of stepping back into that fight and going back into the fight was exhausting. And he's just like, And the thing is, it is exhausting, even if we have got into the habit of carving out a space where we are used to dwelling and used to answering those negative prayers. Yeah, loops. You come back in, even though you're used to that, you turn to face that, step back into it and think, it's exhausting. And that's why Psalm 27 ends with this word of encouragement. Wait for the Lord. Church, hear the word of the Lord. Yeah? Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Sometimes the greatest act of courage is not the fire falling, not dramatic showdowns, but simply this: the courage to wait for the Lord in this space. And again, when you step back into daily life and you're like, okay, Lord, in this space of facing my fears and looking at them head on, I am waiting for you in this space, God. I think that takes a lot of courage. Waiting with trust, waiting with expectation, waiting with courage. Elijah's life for me shows us courage and courage failing. But Psalm 27 reminds us that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is choosing to look at who God is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Sometimes courage does take bold action. Usually, courage is found in the daily rhythm of asking and seeking and dwelling. And often, courage is simply waiting. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. So whatever fears you're carrying, choose courage in this space. Dwell with him, wait for him, and let your prayer be this: God is. Amen. Can I pray for you? Let's stand. Lord, in this space where we have fear and we are focusing, Lord God, on our fears, whether it be fear for ourselves, for our families, for our district, look at our things that are happening in our community, we look at Australia, we are focused, or we look to the world and we think, God, and we are overwhelmed by fear of what we see on our news and our television screen, and we hear the reports coming in from across the world. Whatever fears that we are facing, Lord, we ask that we would have the courage to look and go, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who will I fear? And I'm asking, Lord, that of this church, Father, we would be faithful to the thing you are asking us to do in this season. Church, there is a reason why we are asking. We are preaching on this and we are bringing this to you. We have to learn to do this now, because for the things that are coming, if we haven't got this worked out in the time of peace, yeah, we are not going to get it when everything is adrenaline served and we're all running around like, you think we're running now, you ain't seen nothing yet. And so I just want to say to you, to hear the word of the Lord. And so we come before you, God, and we ask that we be a people who deliberately carve out spaces, and we don't fill it, Lord, with a whole load of stuff to try and fill the ache, but we come into your presence and we dwell and we wait and we come out of that place with a revelation. God is. We sang that song, Pour It Out. It's not that it is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. Pour It Out is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And so, God, I pray that you will pour it out, pour out the revelation of who Jesus Christ is on your people, that we might be a people who are in the rhythm of standing up and saying, God is. And then when we have to step, Lord God, back into that place of our fears, we are looking and going, God is. Whom am I going to fear? Because my God is. And so, Lord, I pray you would teach us this now, that you would find us, Lord God, a people of faith and of faithfulness, a people who know their God and have a testimony to give, a people who can stand up. And then when things happen that are unexpected, Lord, like the prophets of Baal, and now finding your face where you're like, oh, wow, this is a big battle. Ah, easy. Because we're a people, Lord God, who know who our God is, because we have learned how to find you, Lord God, daily. Let it be that we do not miss this season that you have given us. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that these people in this church and myself, we come before you. I ask that, Lord, we be a people who go in peace to love and serve Jesus Christ with every step that we take. And that, Lord, we would be your witnesses in our families, in our extended friends, and, Lord, to the people out in our community. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord your God. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.